A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Peter said to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. Many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. Scripture scholars tell us this is a saying of Jesus that has been placed at different occasions in the different Gospels. This is because each evangelist wanted to use it to emphasize a particular message. Here in Mark, the saying can be taken as either an encouragement or a warning to the apostles. As an encouragement, it is Jesus' response to Peter and the other disciples in seeing the rich man walk away, unable to give his possessions away to follow Jesus. Peter reminds Jesus that they have given up everything to follow him. So, what are they going to get out of it? Jesus seems to ignore the selfish question and instead encourages the disciples to stay the course, keep to the right path. At the end of the day, they will receive a great reward in his kingdom. But the one who enjoys riches now will have to give them up when he dies, and then may have nothing. The disciples have paid the cost of discipleship by embracing apostolic poverty, and this will yield a great harvest in the future. As a warning here, Jesus is saying, "Be careful. Don't become lax or take for granted your gifts, ministry, or position. They will all be gone tomorrow. Do not lord it over others. You may be in their place someday. And don't put on airs or become presumptuous. Many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." But you know, I think there's another perspective here. In fact, both of these interpretations of encouragement or warning have a bit of self-interest at their root. Perhaps there is a better way, a purer way, led by the Holy Spirit. The way of not counting the cost in any way at all, whether one is first or last, does not really matter. That is the way of doing the humble and the right thing, realizing there might not be any reward. Doing God's will and accepting it for the sheer knowledge and joy that we have accomplished His perfect will and have not rebelled. There is no counting the cost in time or in eternity in regard to Jesus. The heart of the gospel is not about reward or punishment. Christianity is a mystical religion of relationship, not a strict ethic of reward and punishment. We have to give up our will and self-interest in order to possess the will and interests of God. We gradually grow to accept that we must answer Jesus' call to follow him without any thought of recompense. For what are we but useless servants who have only done what is expected of us? The great summons to discipleship is to renounce everything for Christ's sake and for that of the gospel, and not for any expected personal reward. Our God is not a God of puny rewards, but a God of boundless grace. Many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. Had Peter really given up everything? No. But like him, we try over and over until we inch our way to conformity to Christ. Jesus doesn't care about the first or the last. He wants us to have his thoughts and desires. There is not a first or last in the kingdom. Each and every person created that does God's will have a personal and intimate relationship with the three persons of the Trinity that fills their hearts to overflowing. And we can begin to live that way now if we forget about counting the cost and who's first and who's last, and erase that all from our minds, thoughts, and attitudes.